The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, best-selling author and speaker Rabbi Daniel Lappin.
Everything he created, he likes. Everything. Like France. I mean, everything. I mean, everything is good.
Yeah.
You know, and we hear that 7 times God said it's good, and then an 8th time even the gold is good. Gold is a metaphor for money. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, Genesis, right at the very beginning, we've got a clue that gold is not evil.
The 10 Commandments of Prosperity, next.
Thank you all. Thank all of you. And we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. We have a Jewish rabbi as our guest, and I'm so excited about it. I'm excited about it because I've just got so much love for Israel, for the Jewish people, really for all people. But such a special heritage that we as Christians have been blessed to have as a part of our treasure. And this rabbi, Daniel Lappin, who is, he's just one of the most popular speakers and gifted speakers and communicators and authors in the country, and has a radio program. His wife, Susan, she's just beautiful. They have 7 children, and they like both of us. That's what, you know, it's really exciting to see that you just really love one of them. But I'm holding here a book that says, Thou Shalt Prosper, the 10 Commandments, and look at the subheading. Now, he just goes ahead and cuts to the chase from what he wants to address, the 10 Commandments for making money. Now, keep your seatbelt buckled, because I know some people say, oh, here we're going to go to extremes or something. Wait a minute. See, there's already an animosity, and this is ever-increasing in our country, toward money. Mm-hmm. And yet, the animosity oftentimes is toward people that have it from those who don't, but wish they did. But with that attitude, likely never will. And many people do not know that money is really never the problem. It's the attitude of the individual who may have it sometimes, and the misuse or abuse of it perhaps, but the money is not the problem. And even having prosperity and understanding that it's greater than just having money, it's really life. And I want you to welcome our friend, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, to Life Today. You have been glad to see you. Just good to have you. I was thinking that I'm talking to Christians all over the world, and, yes, and Jewish people who probably wonder what the Christians are talking about. And I'm talking to a rabbi. So you may wonder, well, James, why would you talk to a rabbi when you're Christian? We believe in Jesus. Well, the Jesus that I believe in has given me love for everyone and a great gratitude. Jesus was a rabbi. He was Jewish. And you should never have a problem with that. We should, in fact, be the best friends of the Jewish people and of Israel. I believe that with all my heart. But I love the rabbi, and I was thinking, Rabbi, that if I believe Jesus is of great value, and that he's a personal reality to me, and that he expresses love and is an expression of love, that it would not be attractive to you at all if I did not represent someone who was the essence of love. I wouldn't have any kind of rapport. So it's certainly quite appropriate for me to be practicing love.
Very much so.
And I want you to simply tell our viewers all over the world, as a Jewish rabbi,
yes,
what your impression is of Christians, and even when you look at the Muslim world and what's going on in the Middle East, what do you think about the influence of Christians on the world, if they'll be dedicated to what they believe?
Absolutely. Well, I think for one thing, we'll condense this down to a quick 2 hours. And just imagine what sort of world there would be if there was no Christianity. And just cutting right to the essence of this, my wife and I have raised our children here in the United States of America. We hope our children will raise their children here in the United States of America. This is our home. And it's important to remember that the United States of America has provided the longest, most durable, most tranquil, and most prosperous haven for the Jewish people in the last 2,000 years. This is not in spite of America being a Christian nation. This is precisely because America is a Christian nation.
And you said something about the impact that Christians could have on the Muslim
world. So much. I mean, there's so much on this. You know, people often speak to me about Israel, and they want me to lecture on the Middle East. And look, I don't have a pipeline into the Israeli Prime Minister's office. I don't know any more than most people who read 11 newspapers a day. But what is the solution? Where is this all going? And look, I presented this. I mean, I have a teaching called Clash of Destiny, Decoding the Secrets of Israel and Islam. Where is all this going? I'll tell you where all this is going. This is all going in the direction of a very simple question with an even simpler answer. Do you think the world would be a better place or a worse place if a billion Muslims converted to Christianity? What's the answer to that question? Let me think for a little while. Could you repeat the question? No, this is not hard. This is really, and there's something else as well that's, I think, worth bearing in mind too, which is that, look, do you like Novocaine? I mean, Novocaine's good, right? Having tooth work done without Novocaine is a real drag. And Novocaine, along with over 97% of every advance, every technical discovery, every scientific achievement between the years 900 and 1900, came out of Christendom. That's an old-fashioned word. Is it okay to use
That's
it?
That's fine.
Yeah, it came out of Christendom and out of Christian culture, out of Christian societies, and in many, many cases from Christian scientists like Sir Isaac Newton and many, many, many others. There is a reason for that, and it's so clear that Christianity was part of God's plan. And certainly here where I live in the United States of America, I believe that the restoration and the recovery of America economically, culturally, in every possible way depends on a strong revival of fervent Christianity. And I think fervent Christianity needs fervent Judaism as part of the mix. But Judaism doesn't have the numbers to bring about the change. You do.
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm convinced that Israel doesn't have a better friend, a more important friend, than the true Christian community.
Oh, it's without question.
And the United States, and I pray that never changes. I do not think it would be best for any part of the world if that attitude ever changes. And they are such a tiny island that really need us to put our arms of love around them and continue to embrace them.
Remember that America's Bible Belt is Israel's safety belt.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's mm-hmm. great. You appreciate what he's already expressed. It's about his own attitude as a Jewish rabbi. Now, I want to, and Betty, you expressed your excitement as you were reading the book. You were excited about what Dave Ramsey said about him. Dave Ramsey was here as our guest years ago before he became the famous Dave Ramsey because we liked what he had to say. But it's just amazing what the rabbi points out. And he breaks out the Ten Commandments of prosperity. And I want him to touch on some of those. Mm-hmm. But you already saw things as you were going through the book that really excited you about what the rabbi is saying.
Well, just from what I've read, I got the impression that being successful, yeah, it's about money, the making money, but that's not all of it. It's about our inside, our condition, our relationships, and our connecting with other people. And I liked what you said. You mentioned in there about, I can't promise you, I can't tell you that you're going to be another Bill Bates or Bill Gates.
She's such a football player.
I'm a football
player.
Y'all know who Bill Bates is.
She loves sports.
You know
Bates
who Bill
would like
Bates
to have
is.
A little Gates.
Bill Gates or yeah. Michelangelo, but you can be all that God has created you to
yes.
be and all the gifts that he's given us, all gifts.
And I'm convinced that for so many of us, the good Lord is looking down and saying, I don't understand. Why aren't you moving along? I've given you so much ability. I've given you so much connection. And you think your current condition is where I want you to be. It isn't.
Yeah. You know, I've made a statement over the last couple of years. I've tried to emphasize until it gets through. The world's belief system says in order to be successful, you need connections. And I've been trying to emphasize you need connectedness. Now, I want you to listen to one of the commandments in the rabbi's book here. This is the second commandment. Extend the network of your connectedness
yes.
to many people. You actually believe this even goes back to the first command God gave Adam and Eve. Take off on that a little bit and help people understand the importance of what you're emphasizing here.
Well, the very first commandment that God gives humanity is the dietary rule. talking of which, thank you for accommodating my kosher needs when we had dinner together this evening. I appreciate that.
Sure.
The second commandment is marriage. That is it. And it's introduced with a long sequence of things that reveal how cheerful God is. I mean, everything he created, he likes. Everything. Like France. I mean, everything. I mean, everything is good.
Yeah.
You know, and we hear that seven times God said it's good, and then an eighth time even the gold is good. Gold is a metaphor for money. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, Genesis, right at the very beginning, we've got a clue that gold is not evil.
Yeah.
And then the very first time God gets grumpy is when he says it's not good. For what? For man to be alone.
Mm.
And the reason is because God wants us to be bonded in exactly the same way that you and Betty and Susan and I, don't we love seeing our children connected to
Absolutely.
One another?
Yes.
Don't we
yes.
love seeing them mm-hmm. do things mm-hmm. for one another and helping yes. one another? Well, why would our Father in heaven feel any differently about how we treat our children, his children?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I think it's so significant that particularly here in the United States, you go in to get a pair of shoes and a salesperson goes down on his knees in front of you. That's called customer service. It's not menial, but it's another way of serving God is to serve his children.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do. And so through that connecting with one another and building those connections, we're able to get past a very basic question. And it's one that I've had a chance to see in your book, True Prosperity. You finish your first chapter with that basic question, does God want us to be rich?
Mm-hmm.
And you quote King David, Psalm 37, and I wish I'd have thought of doing that. but you know, what I think is that question is a lot like saying, you'll pardon me, does God want us to have great sex? Well, he hasn't actually shared that information with me, unfortunately. But here's what I do know for sure, and that is that God wants us to follow his blueprint of a man and a woman dedicated to one another and Absolutely. Dedicated to their family. Why would it surprise me that a good and loving God should reward those who follow that plan with the greatest gift of human sensual pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
Does God want us to be rich? Well, again, he hasn't explicitly shared that with me with respect to any individuals particularly, but I do know that he wants us to be obsessively preoccupied with trying to fill one another's needs and desires. Why would it surprise me that a good and loving God would respond to those of us who take care of other people's needs, even though they're doing it to make a profit? But the bottom line is, Bill Bates is... Now you got me doing this.
Please just rhyme. It goes good.
It goes well. Let's just leave it at that. I mean, the fact is, he has helped millions and millions of millions of people do better in their work and achieve more. There is value in that. And a good and loving God rewards people who obsessively take care of other people's needs and desires. He rewards them with this great blessing of not having to be worn down by the relentless burden of stressful poverty.
You're going to touch, and we're going to actually talk to the rabbi, not only in this program, but another program about these some of these Ten Commandments. But, you know, you really talk about the importance of working toward a goal and not working with some kind of a bad attitude. And when Dave Ramsey does the introduction in the book, which
yes.
he writes introduction, talks about how incredibly effective you are, not only helping him, but helping everyone who will listen. But he tells a story that I think is very typical of where people are and they need to hear it. He says when he was 12 years old, he went to his dad and he said, I need some money. And Dave Ramsey's dad looked at him and said, son, you don't need money. You need a job. That's what you need. And then he told him some kind of story about
yes.
doing the people in the old days. They would go out and hunt and kill something, drag it back to the cave. And his dad said, then it's yours when you get it back. In other words, go out and do something. Be productive. And you really pick up on that. I grew up believing, and I went to work at 12. If I was going to get something, I went to work. But I also, and I really think this is important, I grew up without resenting people
yes.
who had achieved. I actually looked out and saw opportunity. Do you believe in our nation right now that there's a negative trend to put people into an entitlement mentality and resentment toward people who have,
been successful. I mean, I don't get worked up into a frenzy very often, but one of the 11 or 12 things that work me up into a frenzy is, again, something you alluded to in True Prosperity. When the government says, we're only going to tax the rich, of course, sadly enough, you soon find out you're one of them. but again, it's exactly what you're saying. It's generating envy, it's generating hatred of a class. And this is really important because, you know, you think about something that happened in May 1953. Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay came down from climbing Mount Everest. Nobody had ever done it before. Now, this coming summer, about 1,000 people are going up Everest. There have been so many people going up Everest since 1953 that they have a littering problem. Somebody has to go up and try and get the Snicker bar wrappers down from there. I mean, seriously. And so my question is, and I'm not saying I could climb Mount Everest, you probably could, but a whole lot of people can do it. It's not that big a deal. The proof is that literally hundreds of guys who drive desks all year are going to pay a guide to take them up Mount Everest. So if it's not that impossible to do, how come nobody had ever done it before May 1953? The answer is nobody ever believed that it could be done. Mm-hmm. The same thing a year later. Roger Bannister ran a four-minute mile. First time human beings had ever run a mile in less than 4 minutes. This year, how many college athletes are going to run four-minute miles? Thousands. I'm not saying I could. I bet you could.
No, I don't think so.
But it's not that impossible to do. So how come nobody did it before 1954? Nobody believed. In fact, doctors said it would kill you if you tried. They said it was impossible. If you don't believe that it is not only possible, but preferable and more effective to make money by doing the right thing, by integrating the whole culture of prosperity into your life, not praying to God for a Ferrari, but making God happy, doing what God laid out in his blueprint to bring the blessing of prosperity. If you don't have that conviction in your heart, you are going to be poor for the rest of your life.
And wherever you are right now, can you begin the turnaround?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what your skills are. It doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, just think of the Colonel and Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, how old he was when he suddenly decided enough was enough and he was going to start making some money. It's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do at any time.
I do want you to get the book. As a matter of fact, we're actually going to send it to you if you'd like to have it, because God does want to bless you. You appreciate the rabbi sharing with us. We want to actually give him an opportunity to go in depth. And it's wonderful to me for people to see that one of the great ways we're going to see healing and health come back to our nation is for people who have strong, let's say, difference or different perspectives to be able to sit down in an atmosphere and attitude of love. You're watching me bring leaders together in the community of faith.
Yes.
And you know it's a remarkable thing to see people come together. It really would help Congress. And I think Congress would be helped if people of faith and church leaders, Christian, Jewish, all
it's
of
crucial.
Could learn to sit down together. And this is what we're going to be working toward. I want you to really be praying with us. Rabbi, one of the things that we do that our viewers, there's something inside that has been released. It's like a river of love. They love to help people. And one of the greatest joys that we experience is giving people water. And it's effective. It's a gift that lasts literally a lifetime, but also transforms lives. And it's because of the love of God. Now, I want you to join with me and Betty in looking in on a scene. Now, I want you to know this. Here's a situation that's very serious, but there really is an answer. It's not something you wish you could solve. I want you to watch closely.
Life is hard for us here in the villages of Madagascar. We are very poor, and we have to get our water from wherever we can find it. My name is Avizio, and everyone here in my village is sick because of this water. I am sick. My children are sick with diarrhea. I hate giving them this dirty water, but it is all we have. It is so bad that some of the children in the village have died. I have a feeling that I have a dying child in my lap. But what can I do? Who can help us? Who can help me?
You know, I find myself just wanting to put my hand up. I can't. You know, Betty, the missionaries and our incredible staff that put together that piece and translated it for us to hear, that mother, exactly what she was saying. They knew that they would not just bring it back to Betty and to James, but I can tell you what the missionaries say, because I hear it over and over. If we could just tell the people who watch Life Today, if we just tell them. And when the missionaries come to us, literally, they're coming to you. I think they're coming to God, because we've tried to represent His love, and we couldn't do it without His love through you. And I really believe the missionaries have confidence, and that mother has been offered hope now that she'll have a well for her children, that her heart cry and her desire will be met. And Betty, I'm believing that viewers all over the world will go to the phone or go online and make the best gifts you can to give the great gift of fresh, clean water. I'm believing they're going to respond.
I do too, James. And I think you just heard the heart of a mother that so loves her children that she would do anything and everything for them to help them live healthy. But she says, she asked the question, what can I do? This is all the water we have. There's so many others that are asking that question. What can I do? They have to have water. Will you help us, join with us, and let's build the water well so that they can have a choice. They can take and choose the clean water, the pure water that will help their children be healthy.
We can do it. We can help. And this is the last week of our emphasis for the over 400 wells that we're asking you to help us drill. Could you drill one of them? Would you be the answer to, will you help us? I will. Could you drill a part of a well? So often we have people who will give 1,200 or 2,400 and pray one person or three people join them, and then we've got the 4,800 necessary. But we rejoice that we've got individuals and couples and small businesses and churches. I will drill the well. But what will you do? And Betty, we could not drill 400 wells in these various countries of the world unless people said, I'll give $48 or $144 and give 10 people water for the rest of their life, or 30. It takes all of us coming together. And by the way, the $48 gift, or the $144 gift, it's just as great in the eyes of God and to the people that you give water to as it is who can give the $4,800. The widow's mite was the largest gift. Jesus had the greatest gift. You simply give your best. Would you do that? Would you dial the number? Would you make the gift God put on your heart? Put it on a bank card? Or if you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. We've got some special gifts for you to bless you, to say thank you for giving life. Please make that gift. And I do remind you, this is the last week for this emphasis to drill the 400 wells. Would you help?
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I have spent my day traveling up and down this river. We have seen the graves of children that have died because they drank from this river. We want to do something about it. Mission Water for Life can drill wells, but we need you to respond. This is a global problem. This isn't just isolated to this river. This river is just a small picture of rivers worldwide. The need is desperate and urgent. Open your heart and give freely so these children won't die.
I do encourage you to simply make the gift God put on your heart. Do your best. And we would love to send you Rabbi Lapin's book, Thou Shalt Prosper. Do you know the greatest prayer requests we get? And by the way, today, as people are calling to help provide water, 80% of the calls will still be prayer calls. In the midst of a crisis, wherever we're meeting need, people say, would you pray for me? Greatest prayer request, health challenges. Second, we got money issues. We got financial challenges. These are principles. A lot of you say, well, how does God bless the Jewish people? Well, so he can bless the nations of the world. And through that blessing comes our Savior, Jesus, and all that's happened in our lives. But wait a minute, does he want to bless us? We're not talking about going after money and the love of money, but we're talking about the blessing that having money can bring. You can't alleviate suffering. Couldn't drill a well if you don't have the resources to do it. We'll gladly send this to you, whatever gift you make, to help us share water. You want to say thanks to Rabbi Lapin again? Rabbi, thank you. We're going to talk to you in the next program about some of the specific commandments in the book, all right? Thank you so much for watching Life Today. And again, encourage your friends to watch. Some of them got financial challenges. I'll be the rabbi. I'll say some things that will help.
Tomorrow, the Ten Commandments for Making Money.
But money is a spiritual measure of what you have done for other human beings.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.